to him, and they're great Bible studies. They're really in-depth.
That's really encouraging, I have to say.
It is.
And that's just the part I can remember.
There you go.
He talked really fast.
I'm also glad you shared it.
I'm glad you shared it, too.
I love it.
We have a verse for the journey.
We have a verse for the journey.
And it's on the wall now. Let's say it together. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. There you go. That's it. So that's an easy one, so everybody will remember that. From now on. We're going to talk a little bit. We're going to pick up where we left off last week. Last week we were talking about we have to be the branch that stays connected to the vine. So tonight we're going to do a little bit of thinking about why branches become disconnected. You know, of course, if you're not fruitful, it says you get lopped off and thrown in the fire. That's a good way to be disconnected. No, not a good way. But the other thing that we need to think about is how do we disconnect ourselves from the vine? And how does the world, the flesh, and the devil disconnect us from the vine? And how does the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the boastful pride of life disconnect us from the vine? Because all of those things impact how we live our Christian life. And so when we start thinking about this, I gave you a quote that I love that was from Matt Redman. You know, Matt Redman was the first. Yeah, and he's 10,000 reasons. You know Matt Redman. Okay. So Matt Redman talks about being an unquenchable worshiper. I just love that terminology, an unquenchable worshiper. And he talks about the fact that there are three ways you can put out a fire. One is to cool it down. Throw water on it, whatever, cool it down. One is to remove oxygen. That's to say, take away the air. You know, I think of the Holy Spirit as breath. And so I think of it in that way. And then to remove the available fuel. I think about that like you think about the forest fires and they cut down all the trees and make a break so there's nothing there to burn. I think about that when we burn out, you know, there's nothing left. So we're going to look at some of those things tonight. And I think it's really important for us to think about how these kinds of things work. So we're going to look at some case studies. But I want us, before we look at the case studies, I want us to think through some things. Some of the ways that Satan tricks us, or some of the things that he does that make us believe things that aren't true. One of the things I've noticed that Satan likes to do is try to start out by agreeing with us. Have you ever noticed that people will start out agreeing with you, and the more they talk, the more you know they don't agree with you? We had a girl in one of our campus groups, and I could tell she wasn't quite on the same page, and one day she announced that she was a Christadelphian. But she said, but we believe the same things you do. And you know, that always puts you in a bad spot because you don't know whether you should be saying, wow, this is not good, she is just really, really deceived. I think they're looking at weather, right? Yeah, they're really, really deceived, and so you don't want to turn her off. But the other thing is, if she's just sent there sort of as an interrupter, you want to say, hey, that's not right, and you want to stand up. So those are always difficult things. The second thing I want to think about that Satan does to us, and this one's harder, is that he offers us shortcuts. He says, here's where God wants you to go, and here's an easy way to get there. And it's a shortcut, and the shortcut doesn't work, but it's an easy way to get there. Satan even did that to Jesus. Think about the temptation of Jesus. Satan said, I'll give you all the kingdoms you can see. Think about this for a minute, because Jesus came to redeem those kingdoms, right? He came for those people. He came for the land that was lost. He came to redeem those kingdoms. And so we are thinking in terms of those things. Then if Jesus would have taken the shortcut, what would have happened? What would have happened? Was there like a bad storm?
Yeah.
Okay.
60 miles.